Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about love. And this area of this agape love is really where the church needs to grow. My dad used to tell me, he used to say, "Son, there's always room for improvement." And that's the biggest room in my house. I like that. There's always room for improvement. And this is the area of love. There's definitely room for improvement, right? And it will grow in this agape because it's the highest level of love. And this is the love that God has not suggested. It's the command. He says in 1 John 3:14, this is how we know that we pass from death to life, by the way we love the brethren. The way we love each other demonstrates that we have eternal life. Then it says, if you don't love your brethren, you abide in death. In other words, if you don't love the brethren, you abide in death, separation from God. So it's difficult to love some folks, isn't it? And God will put some difficult folks in your life. And sometimes in church, lots of times in church. That's why a lot of times people leave a church, because there's a difficult person there. When really God all along was trying to develop His love in you. A lot of times people will run out, they'll leave a church, they'll get mad or hurt. And really, if they would have been praying and really in the love of God, then that love would have been developed in them. And they would have been able to love the person who hurt them rather than just get hurt and go do their own thing. So this love is major. Last week we looked at love hopes all things. Hope, remember, always expects the good. Always expects the good. That's what hope is. Expectation of good things. So when I have hope, I'm always expecting the good. I'm looking for the good. And so if I've got a negative situation, you'll say things like, good is going to come out of this. Something good is coming out of this. It doesn't look good, it doesn't appear, but something good is going to come out of this. And that's why it says, love hopes all things. And when you're in the love, this agape, you're going to have hope. Remember, the love of God is growing cold. Why? Because lawlessness is abounding, Matthew 24. Now he says in Titus 2:11, he says this, that you and I are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, when we have hope, he's going to redeem us from every lawless deed. He's not going to allow us to stay in lawlessness. So our love won't grow cold. See, lawlessness is the reason it's growing cold. But he says he's going to redeem you from every lawless deed. Every area of your life is going to come under his redemption. Remember, deem. God deemed us the most important thing until sin came. And when sin came, we were no longer under the redemption. But now God has a plan of redemption. Back to, he wants to redeem what he deemed important. And he does that through hope. So we have hope, we're going to make it. God is a God of hope. So if you feel like you don't have hope, you got hope. You got hope on a rope. You got much hope. Hope's everywhere in the things of God. And it says hope does not disappoint. When you have hope, you're not always disappointed. So if you're disappointed, you need to check to see where your hope is. If you're walking around disappointed, you need to find out, where's my hope? If your hope is in God, you're not going to be disappointed. So hope all things. And then what? Love endures all things. So now, the word endure, remember? Hupomeno. Hupo is under. Meno means to remain. So when I'm enduring something, if I'm under a lot of stress and pressure, if I'm enduring all things, I'll stay under it until I get where God's taking me. I'll stay there. I won't quit. I won't give up. I'm going to endure it. Love endures all things. What if this was demonstrated in marriage? There wouldn't be in divorce, because love endures all things. there wouldn't be people betraying one another. Love endures all things. We endure when people do wrong to us. We endure because we're staying in love, right? We're going to remain under the pressure till we get to where God has taken. Love endures all things. It means it doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It doesn't throw in the towel. Remember, I'm going to love bears all things. I'm going to cover you until you get to where God has taken you. Well, you don't know how she acts. Well, she does this and does that. Endure it. If you're really enduring it, the power of God is going to come in and help bring the change. As long as they'll stay with you, right? But if they run out on you, they don't have time to get the enduring. See that? Love endures all things. Love doesn't what? Fail. What's the word fail mean? It means to fall from a high position. In other words, when you aren't demonstrating that love in whatever situation, then it fails. You've fallen from the high level of love. Because the agape love is the highest level of love. Remember? There's four kinds of love. The agape love is the highest level. Now, today, we're going to take another direction. We're going to move on from this love. We could stay on this agape love till for a couple more years. Remember what Paul said? He said, it's so high, you'll never get over it. It's so low, you'll never get to the bottom of it. It's so wide, you'll never get around it. Round. And whatever one I miss, you can't get there either. Because this love is broad, right? I mean, it is huge. We can all learn, right? And the more we walk in it, the more power that we're going to have in our life. Now, today we're going to turn and we're going to move on. So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is what He's up to. And He's developing that love in us. But now the next thing is joy and peace. So we're going to talk about joy and peace today. So go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Okay, we are looking at this next attribute. Remember, an attribute is a tribute to where it came from. Joy. God is joy. This is a tribute to God. And joy, I'm talking about joy today, and joy is not just happiness. Happiness is based on what's happening. Joy is different. It's supernatural. See, it's not natural, this joy that we're talking about. God has given us this joy for times of adversity and times of affliction. And most of the time you see this joy in the New Testament, you'll find adversity and affliction. And we're going to talk about that today. So now look at this. Go with me real quick to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 6. And you, he's talking to Thessalonica, and they were under severe persecution. And severe persecution was coming against the church and against the people in Thessalonica. And Paul was there bringing the gospel, and people were just changing, and all kinds of things were changing because of Paul's obedience. Now look at this, verse 6. And you became followers of us. Now, do you see what he's saying? Because he was so adamant and so determined to fulfill God's will, people started following him. People will follow you. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I want to follow Jesus. Give Jesus all the glory. That's what your life should be doing. When you're following him and you're really after it, they're going to follow you because they want what you got, and you got him. If you're leading them to him, hey, you're leading them in the right direction. Sometimes they start out following you. The church should be growing because people ought to be following you because of what you got. See that? Now, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Watch this. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. With what? Joy. Of the what? Of the Holy Spirit. That little word of means it comes right out of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, he says you receive the word of God, with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. If you believe this Bible, and you believe God's word is true, and you believe that it is the truth, you're going to be persecuted. You say, I believe the Bible. Sometimes people are going to look at you like you got four legs and a tail. They're going to look at you like you're different. But you believe it because it is true. And it is alive and it is living and it is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. There's no other book like the Bible. And when you say you believe it, it's going to cause you to be different. And people are going to look at you different. And you're plugged into a church that declares that they believe the Bible? Well, you're going to suffer some stuff just because you're plugged in there. Because you're even connected there, you're going to have persecutions and afflictions. People are going to come against you and say things, make fun of you. See, that's what they did with all the disciples. Anybody that was connected to them, they started, they persecute them. That's the way it is. But when you know that you know, right? You're conscious of it. You're confident. You know that, this word is what's going to get me through. This word is what I've been born to walk out in. We've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So there was much affliction. Now look at this. With joy, he says. In most of Paul's writings, he associates joy with times of afflictions. Now listen to this word, afflictions. This word afflictions is the Greek word, and this is how you spell it. T-H-I-L-I-P-S-I-S. Philippus. And this is what it means. It was a word that conveys the idea of heavy, pressured situations. And this is where it came from. They would tie a victim of their that they were going to afflict this affliction on. They would tie them up with ropes. And they would face them on the ground. And then they would get a bunch of men and they would roll the largest stone they could find on their back to put pressure on them to slowly crush them to death. That's what that's where this term affliction came from. That's what affliction comes for, to crush you, to crush the life out of you. You know, somebody, you know, that you were very betrayed you and it just crushed me. You feel like you're being crushed. Well, they would put these big stones on them to crush them and slow death. But now here, this joy with afflictions, with joy in the Holy Spirit. The joy comes to relieve the pressure. Are you with me? That's what the joy is for. It's a supernatural joy. And it's in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this joy is a supernatural joy that comes and it wells up in you and it forces that pressure off, and no matter what you're going through, you got joy and you're not under all that pressure and all those things that are trying to crush you, because you got true joy and it's supernatural. It's not based on what's happening to me or around me. I've got joy inside, and the kingdom of God is ruling on the inside of me with this joy. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural joy. We must understand that this is divine joy. This joy is not the same low level as mere happiness. You know, there's some people in your life that you feel that are trying to take your joy. Anybody got those? There, you work with them. Every time you get around, it's like, you get a big toot. Well, you need to tap more into the joy of the Lord. Maybe in your family, maybe in your marriage, maybe at church here, maybe some. Those people are there, and God is trying to develop you and get you to tap into this joy that He has for you. And when you do, it changes your circumstances. It changes you. It can keep you from being stressed out and high blood pressure and getting sick. This joy has a power. The Bible says joy is like medicine in your heart. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. It actually can bring health and healing into your life. Joy. But now there's some people in your life that wants to take your joy. Someone told me a story about, you ever heard of the kids' stories, Madeline? Madeline was in school. I guess it was a couple days. And the teacher looked at her and she said to the teacher, "This boy's a bad hat." The teacher looks back at her now. "Now, Madeline, you shouldn't judge him so quickly." And Madeline looks back at the teacher. She said, "I didn't judge him quickly. I just quickly understood him." You ever get around some folks, you just know right away what they're up to. You just know. I mean, you know how you just know, right? They're up to something. Okay, now, happiness is based on circumstances. Pleasure, merriment, exuberance, excitement, or something that assists or causes one to feel hopeful or high-spirited. These feelings and emotions of happiness, although very pleasurable at the moment, usually go as quickly as they came. A lot of times somebody will do something for you and, oh, you get happy. Then you get a phone call and happiness goes away. It doesn't last, does it? But you see, when you have this joy, it remains. It stays there because something else is ruling you. Jesus said, these words I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Full. You see, if you're having time with Him and you're steadily in His Word, that joy is going to be in you, regardless of what's going on out here. And it's going to take over when them circumstances try to take over. The joy is. That's why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, they were threatened to kill Him. They were persecuting Him right and left. He was like the weeping prophet. And he cried out, God, I can't do this. But he got with God. He said, your words were found, and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You see, that's how it is. When you take time with God and you really digest that word, it gets in you. It gets in you and it feeds that joy. And that joy forces up and it gets rid of those things that are trying to crush you and pressure you down. And that joy just bubbles up and it removes those pressures. And that's the kingdom of God working in you. You see, now the kingdom of God is governing you on the inside. It's controlling those emotions. And those emotions aren't controlling you. You got joy. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what's going on around you, you got joy. And the joy of the Lord is what? It's your strength. That's why Paul prayed. He said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would have a walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you would be strengthened with all His might according to His glorious power with patience, long-suffering, and joy. You see? And then he said, speak these things. And that's what I'm doing. I'm speaking these things right now that we'll have strength when we tap into the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and you need that joy and you need that strength to fulfill the mission that God has called and created you for. And I'm telling you, everything around you, your circumstances are trying to begin to crush you and put pressure on you to keep away from what God has called and created you for. Am I making sense? That's why we need joy. And the Holy Spirit is up to bring in joy in your life. And when you're in touch with Him, you're going to have joy no matter what's going on. And people will look at you and they won't even be able to tell what you're going through because you got joy. You're not walking in, well, this is happening, and this is happening, and you know, this, my bills, I can't. See, there's no joy in that. You see, when you get tapped into joy, now wisdom starts to flow. You open yourself up for God to really speak to you because you're tapping into the high calling of God. You're tapping into heaven, earth. Heaven is moving earth. You are on earth and you're moving and advancing His kingdom, and it's going to be done with joy. If the joy's not there, you're not going to be moving His kingdom. This joy is important. All it takes is one bit of bad news, a certain look from a fellow employee, a negative word from a spouse, or a utility bill that is larger than what was anticipated. And those emotions of happiness can dissipate right before your eyes. But true joy is unaffected by outward circumstances. In fact, it usually thrives best in difficult times. It's God's supernatural response to the enemy's attacks. The Greek word for joy is the word chara, C-H-A-R-A. And it is derived from the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which means grace. This chara is derived, it's birthed out of grace. Grace is a divine ability. Now, when you have this kara, this joy, you have a divine ability to help you and to enable you to get through whatever it is you were going through, and you have it that you couldn't do without this joy. You have the ability to get through it that you couldn't do on your own. There are times you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit to get you through certain things. Joy. Joy. And it's true joy. Listen. But true joy is divine in origin, a fruit of the Spirit that manifests particularly in hard times. Joy is a Spirit-given expression that flourishes best when times are difficult, strenuous, and daunting. That's why Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand." He said, "Rejoice." Guards breathing down his neck, put in prison for nothing more than preaching the gospel, and he's telling us to rejoice. You see, Paul understood this joy. He tapped into this joy in the difficult situation, and he didn't remain in that situation long because the joy got him out of it. Am I making sense? It will relieve that pressure because it's supernatural. In Psalm 16:11, it says that he will show you the path of life. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. You see, when you are getting in his presence, he's going to show you the path of life, and there's going to be joy. You need that joy for the path of life. You know what? David said, "My countenance displayed that I had been with the Lord, the glory of the Lord." You know what? Your countenance tells everything. Your countenance says if you got joy or not. It does. Your face. Did you ever see people? I mean, really. You know, you go to sometimes I go to Kroger's and they'll say, and I've had people, gospel truth. You know, what are you so happy about? And I tell them, yeah. People ought to be asking, what you so happy about? Do they do that? Are you acting like the rest of the folks in line, looking at your wife, man, they need more help in here. But you stand there and you got joy. Hey, shoot, what time is it? Hey, I got time. The Lord's on my side. I'm all right. I'm on his schedule. I got me some joy. And I got to stay in it because it's protecting me. It's keeping that stuff off my back. Now, we're going to talk about peace. Peace is what we're going to talk about. Joy, peace. And this is all in the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit is ministering now. Watch. It comes from this Greek word, eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E. It means wholeness. It means completeness. It means tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. I like that. That's what this peace is. It's supernatural. It means the rule of order in places of chaos. In other words, something is ruling you on the inside and everything else is going on chaotic around you, but I got some peace. You see, when you got peace, you can make wise decisions. Paul said, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart and your mind." In other words, rule means take like an umpire. Like an umpire calls the shots. That's what that word rule means, an umpire. So like an umpire calls the shots at the game, everybody else is getting excited, but the umpire walks out, he calls the shot. Let the peace do that in your life. Call the shots in your life. It helps you make decisions. You see this? Peace, this peace, it rules in the middle of chaos. Now watch this. When you are dominated by eirene, you have a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct yourself peacefully in the midst of circumstances that would normally be very nerve-wracking, traumatic, and upsetting. When you have peace, no matter what, you got you some peace. And you can look people in the eye, whatever. No matter what they're coming at you with, all hell can be coming against you. You got peace. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know what you're going to get into. But when you got peace, you make wise decisions. And when you have that, it's going to protect you. There's a peace that passes all understanding that guards. It's like a garrison of angels around you protecting you. Guards your heart and mind through Christ. Now, the other word for peace is shalom. and that means prosperity. That's the Hebrew word, prosperity. Acts 27, go with me there real quick. Paul was in a storm and in a ship that was being dangerously tossed to and fro by this raging storm on the Mediterranean Sea. Now look at this. Verse 14. But not long after a tempestuous, that means a severe storm, head wind arose called Euroclydon. They actually named this storm Euroclydon, and it actually was a mixture of the winter winds and the hotter winds coming in, and it created a storm that anything that got in this path of this storm, Euroclydon, if people were in the path, they died. Lives died, ships were wrecked and destroyed. And their ship was being tossed to and fro by this storm. Now, this word tempestuous is the word, Greek word, T-U-P-H-O-N-I-K-O-S, Nikos. Remember, it means conquer. But it's a compound word. And the first part of the word means typhoon. So it's typhoon. The second part is Nikos, means conqueror and subdue. So this was a typhoon that conquered and subdued everything in its path. Paul's ship was in its path. Now, go with me for the sake of time down to verse 23. They were on this ship and they were in the middle of this storm and they all thought they were going to die. And you know what they did? They began to throw their tackle and stuff off the ship to make it lighter. And they stopped steering the ship. They let it go. And they ended up in a place called Claudia. Claudia was 400 miles off the track where they were supposed to be going. This storm had taken them 400 miles in a matter of short time off track. And now the ship was falling apart, and they all said, we're going to die. Verse 23, and they were throwing all their tackle off. Sometimes we got to get rid of some stuff, don't we? Sometimes we got to get rid of some stuff that's weighing us down. Now look at this. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. In other words, God had told him that if you'll listen to me, everybody's going to get through this storm. So look what Paul says in verse 25. He goes out on the deck. Everybody's screaming for their lives and says, take heart. Take heart means be of good cheer. There's joy. Be of good cheer. Can't you imagine what some of, what is this nutcase talking about? We're dying, and he's telling us to be of good cheer. Well, that's what I'm doing with some of you. Some of you are in storms, and I'm telling you, be of good cheer. Now look at this. Be of good cheer, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. In other words, he was saying, I'm believing what God has said to me more than what this storm is telling me, more than what all of you are saying against me. I'm believing what God has said to me and what God has called me to do. We're going to make it. It goes on to say in the last verse, and the rest and some on boards, they floated in on pieces of this ship. They floated in on pieces. And some on boards, last verse, and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. No one died. Everyone was saved. Here's why. Because Paul didn't lose his joy, and Paul remained peaceful and in touch with God in the midst of it all. Paul didn't lose his joy, and he didn't lose his peace. And that's why all of them made it safely.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.
love.